Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's Hawk coming to you live. It is 6/14/2019. It's a live Friday show. Ho, ho, ho! You've heard the howling of the wolf. And now, can you start to feel its breath? Because I'm going to tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, that's what Brother Quail and I were talking about before I came on the air tonight with you. I stopped for a bit of a repast in the kitchen before I came on, but I was just talking to Steve a little while ago, and he said, man, you've heard the howling of the wolf, and we were talking about the world situation and the situation inside the United States, okay? And it is ripe. It is the time is a ripe time for an attack or a terrorist event or an EMP to knock out the power grids, which could be done by terrorist event. Or it could even be old little Kim in North Korea. You know, he could be doing it. But I'm telling you what, Brother Quail said, you've heard the howling of the wolf. Now he says you can feel the breath of the wolf. And once he says, what are you going to do when it comes down your street and then comes in your front door or your back door? And I said, isn't it interesting, Steve, that the giant head of the 40,000-year-old prehistoric wolf, the head was over 16 inches long. You know, half a yard. Long for just the head. That thing would have been like one of those dire wolves on Game of Thrones. But it is just incredible. And I'll tell you what, Stephen Ivo said, that's almost like it's prophetic. The wolves come in many, you know, many guises. But I'll tell you what, this Iran thing and all of it. And I heard Ash Carter, you know, on the television with Brett Baer just a little bit ago saying, oh, well, the Iran thing is very tough, but, and I wouldn't want to fight them, but I know who would win, and blah, 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 and, but they never take into account the fact that Russia and Red China and Venezuela had, and also North Korea have treaties with Iran. So, yeah, you can win maybe against Iran, but I'll tell you what, if they launch all at one point in time.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, they knocked me off the Skype and knocked me off of my computer off of the Internet. So that means they don't want Hawk to talk tonight. Well, I'll tell you what. Old Hawk told them in 2004, not to put that stuff in there, not to put those three. We had back then three. We had three, you know, carrier groups in the Persian Gulf back then, and hopefully we're not going to have this again like that and go that route. Because even though Iran has maybe less weaponry at the forefront there, what they do have is this. They had in 2004. This is 2019. It's 15 more years, isn't it? They had 110 Super Sunburn missiles, and they had also 100 Exocets. If they launch everything in their pod and our ships and the tankers and everything, then they will dead duck it right in the middle, and they'll be, not only that, they had back in 2004, according to my information, up to 40 or 42 nuclear warheads back then, which they bought on the open market, and they also probably made one or two. But they have the treaty with Russia. They have the treaty with Red China. They had the treaty with North Korea. They had the treaty with Venezuela. And they've had daily flights back and forth from almost all of those passenger planes, of course. But no, no, they got cargo. Now, you remember Steve Quail years ago said that he had, at one point in time, had the information of the story about a nuclear detonation detected in Iran, and it was from the 90s. Now, this right here is from the 90s, and it's from a story by Dave Francesca of the Associated Press, and it is from January 17th, 1999.
Gonna party like a 1999. Oh, boy, the Illuminati had you going on that one, didn't they? An old prince.
But anyway, what the Iranians did in 1999, Washington, January 17th, Associated Press, David Francesca, the writer, satellites have detected numerous signs of major impact located in the hills of northwestern Iran. We are pretty sure that this was an intended nuclear explosion. Jody Birmingham said, a spokeswoman for the Department of Enhanced Satellite Technology. When questioned by the press, the White House had no comment, nor did the Pentagon. Iranian officials have declined to speak with the Associated Press, and so far, human casualties or structural damage is unknown. More information will be supplied when further information available. Within about an hour of that particular story going up or so, and Steve printed it all off and got the copy of it, and he just found that copy in the last day or so in an area that he hadn't seen it for a long time. He always alluded to it, and I've talked about it on air. Steve had it. But there's the information. They had nuclear weapons. That was a weapons test. And now since then, they have Shahab 1, Shahab 2, Shahab 3, and Shahab 4. The Shahab 3s could hit anything in the Middle East and parts of Europe. Shahab 4 could hit the United States. Okay, you don't think that it's ready to go. You don't think the Russians have been helping them. You don't think the Red Chinese have been helping them. I'm going to tell you what, the wolf could be at the door. I've also been telling you on this program, and Brother Quayle told you for years, that there were all kind of infiltrators coming in from the southern border. I used to call it the old, well, I was told it was, they called it the, they were coming up the old Comanche Trail along about 2004 and 5. I was talking about that to you. And I've tried to give you as much of a heads up as the Lord Jesus has given me to tell you to get prepared. Well, I'm telling you tonight to really start to prepare and to prepare in earnest if you have not gotten it. You see, they don't want me to speak because I'll tell you what, there's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Now, I don't care if the provenance of who done this thing is exactly right. It doesn't make any sense in some hands. But on the other hand, the greatest chess players in the world have been the Iranians, the Russians. They were some of the original chess players, along with the Parthians, you see, and those from India and places like that. It's where the game was embedded. And we also have, you know, the fact that the Iranians have been involved with the black magic and stuff for so long that the Prince of Persia, you see, Archangel Michael and Gabriel had trouble with him. So you see there is a deep-seated evil there, deep-seated evil that you're going to find out that is coming to fruition or coming to the fore, so to speak. And boy, I'll tell you, I'm trying to get my internet back on, and they don't want to let me on because they just are not interested in what I've got to say tonight. But let me tell you what, when that old wolf comes, you can be ready for the wolf. You can be ready for the wolf, and you can let fly with whatever you got. And whatever you should have should be, you know, at the very minimal, a very minimal one sidearm, okay, and a 12-gauge pump shotgun, and some sort of a rifle that can go out there a little more distance. If you've got a hunting rifle or a variant of the AK, like a Mac 90 or a Mahdi or whatever it might be, or if you've got an AR-15 of the old school or the more of the M4 carbine style of the new school, the race guns that are out there, and you can get those in pretty good price points now. And there's plenty of ammunition for all of it, but I'm going to tell you what.
If you can only afford just one, see if your uncle or your grandpa or your next-door neighbor who's got 30 guns, see if they've got an old 12-gauge pump or a 22 long rifle, you know, Ruger or Marlin or something that will shoot as a little magazine that has maybe 10 rounds or whatever, something in it. But if you can get anything, you need to go ahead and get it. And if you can't do that, then you better arm up with ball bats and garbage can lids and put your knives from the kitchen. Hunting knives, machetes, those, you know, golf club type weed whackers that we used to see. You used to swing them like the golf club, you know. Whatever it might be. You get a sharpened stick, you get a stave, you get an axe handle, you get a hatchet, whatever it is. If you had ball peen hammers, you got to get them ready. Because I'm going to tell you what, if the Comanche Trail guys come to the fore, I mean, I'm talking about Hezbollah, okay? Hezbollah, Hamas, ISIS, Alabala, Bulabala, whatever their name is, I don't care. They worship the evil moon god, okay? Then I'm going to tell you what, when they're coming, they'll come for blood, and they're not just going to stab you in the street. They're going to try to put a whooping on you, and they probably have. And let's circle back around to about 2005, when Brother Quayle, if you recall, for all of those of you who read the Quayle Hagman Report back then, you would know that there was a situation where, prior to that, the Prime Minister of Iran back then, not the Ayatollah Khamenei or this Rouhani, nor was it Almond Joy, Ahmadinejad, Almond Joy and the coconuts from the last go-around, but it was the one prior to that, the so-called good, you know, moderate, you know, Iranian guy. And he back then said that there was multiple packages inside the United States. And back then in 2005, Brother Quayle found out about some situations ongoing from the MMV. And we heard the information all about it. And that appeared after double-checking on it. He was able to verify through a Doug Hagman source of verification, that triple verification, that he was correct. He had like three sources on it back then, and he never gave out the exact number back then, but I'll tell you, the number was probably close to 25 nuclear devices inside the United States, placed in all the major cities back then on the east coast of the United States, up to 25. The Iranians had pre-knowledge of it. They could have been Russian weapons, Iranian weapons, but I'm going to tell you what, I guarantee you there was some Hezbollah in the mix on that stuff. All right. Now, those were all placed, but there were also the highest level of the NEST teams, of the nuclear emergency search teams. The mighty men and women of valor went out there. They were directed and run by the son of the Doctore, El Doctore, and the son Kevin was running all them groups back then. And they were able to go systematically widespread and go from the tip of Maine on down to, you know, basically where they found the last one was in the Baltimore area. In the Baltimore area, probably at the Fells Point kind of an area, if you know what I mean. You could take the water taxi from the, you could take the water taxi from the Inner Harbor and go to Fells Point and go eat Greek food or seafood or go to one of the joints. But there's warehouses and things over there as well. And so they were able to diffuse all of the different nuclear devices that were on timers back then. And the whole East Coast almost went up. And that was confirmed by Quayle source, okay, and a secondary source, as well as the mighty men and women of valor. And that group is an above top secret ultra black group that has been sublimated over the years in various places, sublimated mean where they get their paycheck or work into the group. You might have seen it at the NRC, the AEC, whatever you call it, this day or that day or the other day. You could have seen it at the NRO, okay? You could have seen it maybe maybe in some aviation groups, which I'm not going to name because I love those groups so much. But they do fly the black helicopters. They do have the little birds and the little things like that, you see. They also fly other things, too. They fly like the TR-3Bs. They fly other stuff. And they were some of the ones, the MMB, some of the ones, and they were basically, for the most part, Army, okay? Army, although they have ties directly, you know, obviously through the thing, too. You know, Space Command, okay, and the Black Forest and what have you, and Colorado. But you see, they've always been the go-to people for the highest level stuff when it comes to things that go bump in the night, like alien ships, like grabbing that, like dinosaurs or some kind of ancient animal that should not be alive still. There's a report of it in the waters off of Loch Ness, or in the Ogopogo up in British Columbia, or Nessie, you know what I'm saying, or the different ones that you will see in various places, or you'll see the guy, the dinosaur in Africa, or the pterodactyls, or the giant black panthers or jaguars. The giant ones that were in a high altitude area near some kind of an ancient, near some kind of an ancient city in the mountains. And I believe it was probably either in Bolivia or Peru. One that not a lot of people knew about, was hard to get into, but had been also been used as a base for some of the modern-day Iranian terrorists, you see. But anyway, and Russians. So I'm telling you, these people are in here in the United States to the tune of maybe, I don't know, 7, 8, 10, 12, 15,000 of them. That's 15,000 terrorists. And if you add in all the just the standard jihadi Joes and ISIS and Al-Qaeda's and every kind of this, that, or the other of the moon god, then you've got a whole lot of them here, at least 20, 25,000. You can imagine if they start to cutting up and they have ordnance. They got stuff to blow stuff up with. They have, you know, dirty bombs or whatever they've got. But back in 2005, Brother Quayle put it in the Quayle Hagman report, and he never gave the exact number, but they confirmed at least several devices. And the very last one, from what I understand, was, interestingly enough, the device originally had come allegedly from Los Alamos or Sandia. It was of the latest design and could not be disarmed. It was a U.S. design out of Los Alamos or Sandia, allegedly, and that could not be disarmed, and that there was a gun battle in the warehouse areas there on the street in the ODARC 30 to get this thing, and then that device was finally captured, without loss of life, the gun battle, and they took it, and they could not disarm it. It was taken out into the deep trench off of Maryland, and they blew it down below. Not the big magic mushroom cloud and all that, but they blew the device, and it was still such a powerful explosion. There was a massive fish kill that lasted for 3 or 4 days along the Maryland, the Delmarva, you know, the Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia coastlines, okay? Massive fish kill, 2, 3, 4, 5 days of fish kill. And that, it just so happened that all of those things, the little seismographs, just were on the fritz, those universities, except for the ones a few states in the United States, or the ones that were over in Europe, which picked up the massive explosion down below in the deep trench of the ocean. So this stuff is ongoing, and you need to prepare. You need to prepare like the Lord Jesus has told you to prepare. Well, should I prepare for, Hawk? Well, did Hawk ever read you Matthew 24? Did he ever read you Luke 21? did Jesus not, in his own words, as written down by the prophet, or down by Matthew or by Luke, did he not at least give you in the red letters what are his words of what he says and what you should prepare for, let's say in Matthew 24 or Luke 21? Because Luke 21 adds a little something else to it, is that you're going to be betrayed, okay? And you're going to be betrayed by your family, your brethren, your friends, and your co-workers, etc. And some of you, they'll even have to be put to death. But what does Jesus say? Maybe we ought to just read that real quick, huh? Maybe we ought to read Luke on that one real quick, because I'll tell you, what he says is another one of those little neat little gifts, isn't it? And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair on your, of your head perish. Oh, well, I thought you're going to be put to death, but not a hair of your head perish. Now, why is that? In verse 19, Luke 21, in your patience possess ye your souls. It's going to get bad per what Lord Jesus has to say. And your super church might be telling you that it's time to get into their, you know, stock market fund and go get your gold ascension robes. But I would rather have you get food to last you and your family so you do not have to starve and start eating sawdust and bark. I had an aunt that was in a Japanese concentration camp in the Philippines. And she told me she was a nurse. She was a nurse, and it was at that famous hospital camp down there, St. Teresa's camp or whatever. And my family, I guess they never knew whether she was alive or not, because they knew she'd been, that the Japanese had captured the PI. But when they saw her in a picture come out and be rescued, and came out, and it was on Life Magazine or, you know, whatever, the AP or UPI, and then it made Life Magazine at some point, I think. They knew she was alive. But she told me that her teeth were starting to fall out of her head, and she was eating grass and weeds of certain types, you know, the types that would not hurt you, you know, that kind of thing. And then she also had a piece of bark. And she had the piece of bark tied up in her hair so the Japs couldn't see it. And then she bit on the bark every day to keep her teeth in her mouth, to make sure her teeth were set into her jaw still. And she tried to eat anything that she could eat that would give her any kind of nutrition. Now, that's the howling of the wolf, you see. And that's the breath of his, you know, the howling wolf's breath on your door and on your neck. And that's what Lord Jesus says is coming. Wars, rumors of wars, you know. Earthquakes, diverse places, famines, pestilences, you know. All of that. Persecution, the whole bit. And in Matthew 25, Jesus tells you, in a sense, with the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, to be prepared. I cannot emphasize it enough. That's why I am emphasizing it tonight. Okay? Once again, I've been giving you the information for almost 15 years now. And some of you are good and prepared and are going on to that next level of preparation. And I think of all kind of good people out there that are there. I think old Doc Jack is somewhat there. I think of number of different folks who have really taken everything to heart and have got it all set. Old Crazy Horse and a whole lot of other people, you know. And there's some good folk in Texas and Ohio and up in the Uper, you know. Hello to all the Uper people, and hello to Liz Evenson if she's listening tonight. God bless you, Liz. Your husband was a Jim Dandy, and I wish he was here riding shotgun with me tonight. But he's riding shotgun with us anyway because he works for the Lord Jesus now, and he made it into heaven. And I tell you what, they're going to come not only with this, they're going to bring in at some point here, you're going to see the Gog-Magog War, and that will be worldwide, and you're going to probably see the power grid in the United States go down just like in 1 second after. If you've never read the book by William R. Forst, Chen, F-O-R-S-T-C-H-E-N, it's a Forge book. I actually know the Forge book people who go around and have and sell the books wholesale. Nice guy, couple that does that. 1 second after William R. Fortune. All right? And then you still have got, you know, the excellent books, you know, that our brother wrote. James Wesley Rawls, you know, you've still got those books as well that you should bone up on and read, or any kind of good book that tells you about the preparations and about the, what the war is going to be like. And, you know, there's also those books, William W. Johnstone, the Out of the Ashes books, that series of books. If you can find any of those, read those, because those are excellent, too. But you've got to get the spirit of it. You've got to get the mindset of not giving in to this evil and this stuff that's going to come. And I don't know what's going to come. It could be just a horde of hungry people coming to get your stuff. Or somebody heard a generator, or somebody saw a light, or somebody saw or heard or smelled something. Or it could be, you know, a Red Dawn scenario. It could be federal government people, because now they've gone to martial law and then they want to cash in on the jackpot and make get all the stuff for the big shots of the Hottentots. You know what I'm saying? Or it could be that we actually go through some sort of change and we end up with a socialist president and Congress. Could happen. You don't think it can? Well, it can. Because some of the current polls in Michigan and Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, etc., have got Biden ahead of Trump. So that's interesting. And basically, people don't understand, and I don't know if Trump understands it yet, but he's lost the farmers. The farmers are losing their butt. They're losing their farms. They're going to go under, a lot of them. Some of them have insurance, but some of them have lost two crops, and not planting a third crop is going to put them under. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you what. That old 16-inch head Siberian wolf 40,000 years ago, well, somebody cut that wolf's head off. And I don't know if it was one of our forefathers or who it was, but I'm going to tell you what. A human being cut that wolf's head off and decapitated that from its big old wolfy body, all right? And that's the kind of people that we need to step up. And, you know, we're in June, and we're headed toward July, and I'm going to tell you something. At this point in time, it was starting to be understood that there was a plot, allegedly, amongst George Washington's lifeguards, his inner circle sanctorum, you know, of his guards, were getting compromised by the British Tory governor of New York, Tryon, who was out on the little ship in the harbor, you know, and that was a British ship in the harbor, and they couldn't get to him, and he was running the spy ring and recruiting some of Washington's. So they did kill, they did execute one of Washington's lifeguards back about, I think, the 27th, 28th of June. But it wasn't too long after that that they started doing the Declaration of Independence, you know.
And I'll tell you what, when, of course, a human event becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and originally it was property. That to secure these rights, government are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, like Pelosi and Nadler and Schumer and all the piece of crap, and even the never-Trumper Republicans and all the Mitch McConnells and all the cranks who just want to go back to the corporate bull crap that we had before and low growth and blah, 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 blah. Well, they curved up the jackpot on you. Well, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people. The right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to effect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to rank themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. And that could go right now for all the people living in California or in New York or wherever it might be in any state. You see, if they're going to start doing the sanctuary city and they're going to start blocking and they can't build a border wall in California, that old Becerra, the Attorney General of California, is going to block any building of any new wall in California, then I'm going to tell you what they ought to do from the Border Patrol. They ought to find where Becerra lives. They ought to find out what his neighborhood is, okay? And then start taking every single one of the dadgum migrants. And let's see how he would like this if they take the migrants from Congo and Cameroon and put those migrants right in his backyard, put them right into his little village, put them into his, you know, downtown of, you know, wherever he might live, you see, or put them into Beverly Hills, put them into Westwood. Oh, you got a lot of college professors out there. You got a lot of them at Berkeley, you know? Well, Berkeley, you might never notice because it's bad anyway. Except for that little area where, like, all the big people live. You got the armed guards. And I was able to get up in there one time. I flashed a certain, ID and a picture, and I was able to get up and look around for a short drive a number of years ago and lived pretty well. Reminded me of seeing stuff up on the old War Memorial Drive or off that, or not the War Memorial, but on the Lake Peoria. On the bluffs overlooking Lake Peoria when I was a kid, the most beautiful houses and stuff used to be up there. And they used to play croquet on Sunday afternoon, even up into the 50s. And they had the white pants, the white shirt. And even the dad had the straw boater hat, even in the 50s, because they used to wear it when he played croquet.
You see, the real rich people, they think they're going to scoot through it. But I'm going to tell you what. The smart ones have been buying Mountain House and canned good for years. You should be doing it, too. You should be getting gold and silver. Don't go to the cryptocurrencies. All that was done to throw you off and to put you and take you into the mark of the beast. Have all your money tied up somewhere in the internet where you can't get to it. And then they say, oh, you're a zero. You're not a one now. You're a zero, you see. What the heck with them? The heck with them? Get off of Facebook. Get off of that. That's all going down. Don't ever use the Google. Don't even say their name. They need to be began, you know? Use anything else. I don't care. They're all bad, but use anything else. Find one that's halfway good that gives you security. And I'm going to tell you, and even then, you're getting watched by your TV screen. If you're on any of the cable systems, you're on any of the, you know, Dish or, you know, AT&T or whatever the network is, your television watches you and takes pictures of you and sends it back probably to the NSA and maybe to the Red Chinese, too. Your refrigerator, your allegedly your Samsung refrigerator, checks your stuff out and sees what's in there and even might be able to identify what you're eating, okay? And then they're going to try to tie it in with the, allegedly, the Walmarts and the, you know, the Amazon, which then are going to have your key to your house to load your freezer or refrigerator with approved nutritional food. Perhaps you will get the double plus good Soylent Green, you know, and the never, forever, never, ever again, but forever tastes like, and it's supposed to be like beef, but it won't be. Ladies and gentlemen, as Sergeant Major Plumlee from We Are Soldiers, and hello out there to my buddy and the Scholar of Temecula and a few of his buddies, okay, just come back from a foray. Looking into Grand Canyons from the backside and such. But hats off to you and hats off to all the veterans out there and all of those you're currently serving and all the police, all them good men and women down in the old crossroads and other parts and all the state troopers in Kansas and Missouri and all the different ones that might listen in. And all them feds who are starting to get it now that what we've said all these years is correct, you're welcome to listen in, too, because your shitbird types are already doing it. Now, the thing is, you've got to get ready for whatever is coming, you see. And something is getting ready to come, and I still say that it'll probably be a knockout of the power grid. And that could be done by hitting with just conventional weapons. 9 of the key power substations in the United States. But already, excuse me, already in 2005, I've done told you that there were up to 25 devices that were finally taken care of by the bravery and the tremendous hard work and fighting and skill of the mighty men and women of valor. And Kevin, who led the teams back then for El Doctore, who was a four-star general, but one that you could not find his name, even if you went deep dive in the web, you might have to go back 80 or 90 pages to find the name one time. All right? One time. And I haven't given you his real name. But the fact of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, they saved our butt, and they saved the East Coast of the United States. Prior to that, or in that same time period, there was an attempt, and there was a gunfight underneath the water, sort of like Thunderball, over by the Canary Islands. And the Russians were going to pop that Canary Island shell and create the tidal wave wall, okay? That would be, you know, something like Oh, I don't know. What's the Swiss model say? 1,000 feet high and going 500 or 600 miles per hour and hit from Nova Scotia down to the tip of Florida and hit all over into England, Europe, and France and the whole bit. You know, hit the other side of the coin too. And that would then go in probably somewhere in there 50 to 90 miles to the coastline. Well, that would take care of everybody on the East Coast pretty much, except for those that would be in the high rises. It would look sort of like the day after, you know, where Dennis Quaid is the climatologist, you know, who starts out in Antarctica, doesn't he? And then his son is in New York City, and he goes to get his son. And his son, the guys are pretty smart. They're in the library, and they start burning books to keep warm in there as the waves came in because the Atlantic current didn't work right, you know? Oh, ladies and gentlemen, there's so many things can happen. But all I can tell you is if you read what Lord Jesus had to say, then you'll understand what's going on. Now, Brother Quayle was on George Noory last night. Incredible. You can still go up, I think, to stevequayle.com, Q-U-A-Y-L-E.com, and you can click on the section where it talks about coast to coast, the pictures he put up. And you remember I was telling you about he was going to show these pictures of the Aztec artifact that had the aliens on the side of it. He showed that, talked about that last night. Blew old George Norrie's mind, and that's in the process of being authenticated and double-checked down in Mexico. It's on private property. It was found after an earthquake or the side of a cliff of a hillside fell off in an earthquake or what have you, and they found a hive in there that had been probably a joint alien and Aztec hive. So I'm telling you, the thing that Steve has been talking about that he's got going on for September in Branson, you can still sign up if you go to Gen 6. Now, here's how interesting it is. He's on George Noory last night. Noory's nighttime audience, I don't know what it is, maybe 10 million, something like that. It's the largest nighttime radio show and one of the biggest radio shows in the world, the old Art Bell Show on the AM radios and stuff. But the fact is, Steve said that during when he was on last night, that somebody in the powers that be, not Noory and Coast to Coast, but Steve's Gen 6 website where you can click through and sign up to go to the conference or to buy the live streaming or to buy the DVDs that for this conference where you're going to get the free Empire Beneath the Ice book, the Steve Quayle book about how the Nazis were in World War II. And took their Hannibal crabs and their spacecraft and went to Antarctica. But last night, somebody knocked out of the box and took offline to where you could not go through and register for Steve's conference. So I'm telling you, go up there to stevequayle.com now and register up and get ready to go to that thing or pre-buy the DVDs for this year. Or register to stream it live when it goes down in September. You can see all the dates and all the press releases up there about it. And while you're at it, you know, you might want to avail yourself of some of the other Steve Quayle books so that you understand what's coming. You better look up the Giants, you know, and Angel Wars and all the different things and the weather warfare. Or if you just, you know, wanted to get the two most current, you would get Terminated. The End of Man is Near by Stephen Quayle. All right? Or if you really want an inspirational book that's 600 pages long, Jesus, The Premise of the Promise by Steve Quayle is exceptional. And for all of you out there that love the Lord Jesus, that book would be a blessing. That you could either buy it for yourself or give it as a gift to somebody. And it is an incredible book. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to keep Old Hawk on the air, okay? Oh, by the way, go to stevequayle.com and click through on any of it or go to 406-586-4840. 406-586-4840. You tell them Old Hawk sent you when you talk to either Steve or Daryl, his extremely capable manager, or his son, Tyler, or whoever might answer the phone, you tell him Hawk sent you, okay? And you can also pick up some Renaissance precious metals while you're doing that at the time, because you saw the jump a little bit last night of the metals about Iran and the, you know, Straits of Hormuz. So don't get caught watching the paint dry, like they said in the movie Hoosiers. You want to keep old Hawk on the air? You want to keep me striking blows against the enemies of Lord Jesus and bringing to you what I can? They keep knocking me off the regular air and off the Skype, and I can't even do it. So I got to play games on a little phone. So if it sounds like the old days when I used to blow your speakers out, then that's the way it is. Okay? I used to use hard lines in them days, and they would still, then they used to knock it off the satellite. From the Global Star Radio, that used to knock the satellite and their computers out in those days. You want to keep Hawk on the air, and I hope you do. I can use any assistance, most needed and wanted. It's the way I stay living and in the game, the way I pay for my medicine, my insurance, my food, what have you. And any preps that I can still make, I've made a lot over the years. And I sure thank the Lord Jesus for getting me going earlier. But you can send it, you know, Federal Reserve notes, silver dollar, silver dime, whatever it might be, piece of gold, check money order, send it to Hawk, 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. Hawk, 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. And may the Lord return it to you 10,000-fold. And all, ladies and gentlemen, if you get a chance, go up and look at sharpsaddles.com. And if they have any... if they have any of the good leather products, or if you want a high-quality fighting knife or skinning knife or whatever it might be, a boot knife, if you need a saddle, and you want a good saddle that's made the old-fashioned excellent way by an expert cowboy saddle maker, then go up there. Sharpsaddles.com, sharpsaddles.com, and you tell them Old Hawk sent you. And I'll tell you what. To all the people out there, I'm going to tell you, it is just coming to be time, and it's urgent on my spirit from the Lord Jesus. There's power in the Lord Jesus, you know. There's power in his blood, you see. They don't want you to know that. Well, you do know that if you're here, because we never been apologetic about Lord Jesus ever. And we shout it to the highest volume. And I'm going to tell you what, you tares. The wicked ones, talked about in Matthew as well, right? Well, you tares, are you hearing your, you know, you hearing your little siren in the back, your East German siren, because your, you know, your career dissipation lights are starting to blink in your eyes, you know? Na, 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 na. Lucy. Lord Jesus and his angels are coming to you, and they're going to jerk your tears up, and they're going to throw you into the fiery furnace, and there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then the good people, the people that are with the Lord Jesus, those are the ones that are going to shine forth, you see. But there ain't going to be that many of us. You got to endure it till the end, you see. You got to keep going. And I'm going to tell you again, prepare as best you can. If you can only do one extra can of soup or corn or ravioli, whatever it is. I like chunky soup because you got meat, you got potatoes, you got vegetables in it right there in water, in a gravy. You know, you got old beef, corned beef hash, roast beef hash, those are good. If you had an egg and you threw an egg on the top of them, man, oh, man, good eating. I love to eat it. You got beef stew or whatever it might be, and then once again, the chunky soup, the Regressos. the ones you don't have to add water to, because then you can save the water that you're storing or the water that you might have to duck sniper fire to go down to the wellhead, or duck, rifle fire, or mortar rounds, or whatever it might be, or to go get something out of the pond or the stream or the river, you know? So if you can store it, you'd better do it. And I'm going to tell you, this weekend, while you're there, I think that it's time that you should understand some things, because here is, this is a report from Lady J. She went to the local Walmart in up there in them old mountains, you know, by North Carolina and Tennessee and that area right there. And she said she went to Walmart, and there are many, many, many empty shelves. There have been no French cut green beans for 4 weeks. They're out of their pork and beans. Too many gaps in the shelves. Spoke to a guy, and he said that they had just not gotten anything there to put in, hardly. And so I went to get some pureed tomatoes in a 28-ounce can, and I bought the last six. There was only six cans of tomatoes on the shelf. Went to the cereal, and they had no small boxes, store branded Cheerios or Honey Nut Cheerios, and no store Rice Krispies. I did pick up some shredded wheat Frosted Flakes, dated 2020. Was told a truck would be coming on the 16th, the item I'm looking for. You know, I will be there on Monday, but there's no guarantee I will find them. I picked up a large can of coffee on sale and will get, you know, more money. One store had two or three Chunky Soups. Buy one, get one free, which could make them $1.34 each, and not bad. And the cashier told me that what he buys has been out of stock for 2 weeks, and he has been listening to me and trying to buy extra soups and canned meats. She's been preaching the good fight and the good storage and the good canning and preparation up there in the old high mountains there in Carolina and Tennessee. Thank you, Lady J, for all you do. Thank you, Lady J, for all you do. God bless you. And for Cirilla and all those up in Iowa and all those up there at the old stagecoach stop, DM and all that gang, and all those down there in the Florida area, you know, that Mina takes care of and herds around. God bless you. They're having a heat wave. They're having a heat wave on the West Coast, too. And if you look at that mimic, you'll see that they've been pushing all the stuff away because there's too much radiation in the Pacific Ocean, and they're trying to keep it off. But at the same time, we're doing a drought and a heat wave from British Columbia on down into California all the way. And meanwhile, it's been cool, and there's frost warnings in Minnesota, and it has been here in the middle, it's been like 71, 72 degrees, which would normally be like, Bellevue, Washington temperature this time of year. So anyway, B&E on that, and I wonder how my friends are doing over there in France. Good people who have been and won a lot of souls to Jesus and trained up preachers in what used to be French Indochine. God bless you over there. Oh, I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there's so many people that have touched my heart over the years and have kept me on the air, and I hope you keep going as long as I possibly can on this air. Oh, you know what? I've seen goodbyes. I told you last night about the Taurus semi-automatic 9mm 12-shot pistol at for $179 and change, I believe, at Bass Pro and Cabela's. While you're there, go to your local gun store and see if they got any good used guns. See if they've got a good 12-gauge pump that you can buy, you know, for not too much. Winchester Remington or a Mossberg, or even if you were to get like a Ruger 10/22 or something like that, if that's all you could get. But if nothing else, you drive a spike nail through a ball bat or wrap it with some barbed wire, you know what I'm saying? And you get you some telephone books from the biggest city next to you, and you take duct tape and you wrap them around your body, okay? And you put your heavy canvas deal over that, and maybe a raincoat over that. And I'm going to tell you what, you go into the situation on what you're up to, get you some goggles and whatever, and you fight with what you got, you know? I also told you all the old people, go to canemasters.com, canemasters, and look up how you can use a cane. Get if you've already got a cane and you're using it, I remember a Green Beret guy named Robert Speer. He used to be from Leavenworth, Kansas. Robert Speer used to teach how to cane fight because he had been so wounded so badly that he had, in later years, had to walk with his cane. And yet he took it and started showing people how to fight with their canes, the old people. He had the old people really ready to whip some butt, you know what, with that cane. And I'll tell you, I taught my mom a few, two or three basic moves, okay, and how she could jab somebody right in the nose or the throat with the tip of the cane and pull it back and do it real quick, and then take that cane and swing it right to the side of their ear or onto their breastbone. You can break the breastbone with at least just the minimum of 11 pounds of pressure. And a cane made out of oak or hickory or something. You see, baby. Boom, baby! Like the golf clubs, right? That's another good weapon if you don't have a weapon. Get you a good, I don't know, 5-iron or maybe like a pitching wedge. I don't know. Whichever you prefer. All right? But that also works. And I'll tell you another thing. Get you some kind of a knife sharpener and keep your knife sharp, you know? Could be anything, the whetstone, the little thing where you pull it through, whatever. But I'm going to tell you, there's going to come a time when you're going to need to stand for your family. You're going to need to stand for Lord Jesus, stand for your Bill of Rights against everything that comes. Don't go into there, lose a very knife, not a fight, prepare, do some kind of a preparation this weekend. I beg you and plead to you on behalf of the Lord Jesus to do so and to get ready, because we might go to war at any time. Mighty men and women of valor, use your high technology. And for whatever you can come back into this solar system and this planet atmosphere, will you use your high tech to strike blows against you?